Good morning. My name is Laura. I thought I'd share with you, a couple of weeks ago, a friend of ours introduced us to a TV series on SBS called Alone. I'm not sure if you've seen it. I don't normally watch SBS, but we chose to watch this particular program. And it's a show about survival. It's a show about man versus nature. It's about battling conditions of solitude and finding ways to do the impossible. So 10 men are dropped in locations around Vancouver Island, which is in North America, and they are completely alone. They're allowed a few items of clothing because it's freezing cold, and they can choose 10 things to take with them to survive. So whether that's an axe, a knife, things that they need to survive, so they can cut down wood, start fire, that kind of stuff. There's no camera crew with them. They're given a box of camera gear, and they have to film their own adventure. So they are in absolute isolation. So their very first day on the island is really about setting up shelter. That's the first thing they need to do. Because on Vancouver Island, I don't know if you've ever heard of this island, it is home to a massive population of bears, cougars and wolves, dangerous animals. So not only have they got to survive the elements, they've got to survive these animals, which will hunt humans. So shelter, the very first thing they've got to do. And then fire. And then find a water source. And then once they've got all that down pat, a food source. So this is a big deal because the last man standing in this competition, this show, wins $500,000. So the stakes are pretty high. But the interesting thing about it is the battle that these men face. Absolute, complete isolation. No phone, no internet, no family, no community, nothing. Just them and their mind. And there are days on the show where it is pouring with rain, absolutely freezing cold, and they have no other option but to stay in their shelter. So it's just them and their mind. And they can choose to tap out. They do have a satellite phone. The only time they're allowed to use it is to get the rescue crew to come pick them up. So each man, when they're either tapped out or the last man standing, all said something very similar as their final thoughts and reflections on their journey, on their trip. They said something along the lines of, humans aren't supposed to be alone like that. Humans aren't supposed to be alone like that. And that statement is true no matter where we find ourselves. Even if you aren't in a survival situation, in a competition, humans are not meant to be alone like that. Jesus created us to be in community, to have relationships and work together to spur each other on. And he set up his kingdom, his church, in that same way. And last week, Jeff launched our mission statement as a church, which our church has been working on for about 18 months now. And that's where God is calling us to work together as a community, what God is asking us to focus on as a church. And that statement is to love people and to invite them into a growing relationship with Jesus. So we need to respond to Jesus as individuals. We need to choose for ourselves if we believe, do we believe that Jesus is the Son of God who we said he was? But then we're also called to be part of that bigger picture, the community, the church that God has given us, and work together to share, to grow, to spur one another along in our faith, and to also share the good news with others about Jesus, working together because we have different gifts to offer the church. And our church's mission statement is based on Jesus' great statements. And the first one is his great commandment. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. And then his great commission, which says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And like Jeff said last week, our mission statement isn't really anything new or revolutionary, but it's what God is calling us as a church, the Lakes Church, to focus on. And if this is true, if Jesus has given us this as a church to focus on, what is our individual response to that mission statement? What is Jesus asking you or asking me to do as a response to that? And first of all, our individual response, like I said, is to Jesus himself. And it's not a one-time deal. We accept Jesus into our lives, but it's a continuing relationship with him. We are always growing in him, and it is our responsibility to always pursue him and to seek him. There are always things God wants to teach us in our lives. There are always things God wants to show us, and his Bible is living. It's always working, and it's always teaching and growing us. And no matter how many years you have known Jesus, there is more, because God is so big. But Jesus meets with us first individually. Jesus has broken through every single barrier there is to meet with you, to meet with me. There is nothing stopping you from coming to him, because he died on the cross for our sins. Our sin is not a barrier to him. And he is strong enough to break through every single objection you might throw at him, whether it's your circumstances, your guilt, your shame, your anger, whatever it is. He can face that, and he can break through that. And we can see this in one of my favourite passages in the Bible, and that's in John chapter 4, where Jesus is meeting with a Samaritan woman at the well. He meets with one individual then, and he still does that today. But let's look at John chapter 4 to start with. John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Now Jesus had to go to Samaria. He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, in the plot of ground Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' Because his disciples had gone into town to buy food." So we see here Jesus travels to Samaria. And that might seem like not a big deal, but back then, Jews didn't just travel to Samaria. Jews hated Samaritans. Jews would do anything to avoid even stepping foot in the land of Samaria. If they were going on a journey to get to a destination that was beyond Samaria, they would travel extra kilometres, thousands possibly kilometres, to go around Samaria, adding days and weeks to their journey, just so they didn't even stand foot in the land. It's like last week when I was talking to someone and they heard about a possible lockdown in Townsville because COVID was hanging around, and they headed out west to avoid Townsville, to avoid the lockdown, adding hundreds of kilometres to their journey. It's kind of that thing. Except for the Samaritans and the Jews, or the Jews, there was centuries of history and hatred. So they didn't even want to step foot in their land. It was that bad. So Jews don't normally travel there. And Jesus, as a Jew, says he had to go to Samaria. And then we find Jesus talking to a Samaritan, but not only a Samaritan, a hated people group. This particular person was a woman. So not only a Samaritan, but even lower class, a woman. And intriguingly, John writes, Jesus had to go there. And I don't believe that Jesus actually had to go there for his destination. Jesus had to go there to meet this one, to meet the Samaritan woman. And in terms of breaking all of the cultural and social rules of the day back then, Jesus was doing it right here. He was breaking and smashing them all. Jesus was considered a teacher, a rabbi, a righteous man. And back in first century Jerusalem, for a rabbi to speak to a woman, they had to have the husband present. So here's Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman completely alone, and he's initiating the conversation, he's engaging with her, and he's meeting with her face to face. And particularly this woman. This woman was even an outcast in her village, in her town, because of her lifestyle, because she was considered adulterous. She had many partners, which we'll read later on. But Jesus goes out of his way to make this journey to meet with her, to seek out this woman. And he does the same today with us. Jesus is willing to toss out the rules and ask her for a drink of water. And the woman knows exactly what's going on. She knows the implications of Jesus coming and talking to her. And she says in John verse 9, or 4 verse 9, it says, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman." She reminded me, "How can you ask me for a drink?" Because she knows what's supposed to happen. Jesus doesn't say to her, "Hang on, actually, you're right. I got it wrong. I'm breaking the rules. I better quickly leave. I'll see you later." He continues on the conversation. He goes out of his way to reveal himself to her, because he's not interested in doing what the world says he should do. He's not going to ignore you because you think you're unworthy. He's not going to ignore you or not go out of his way because Nothing is a barrier to him. Jesus comes to you this morning not out of obligation, but because he wants to. He looks at you for who you are, not what you've done, not your circumstances, not where you find yourself in life, not the hurt and the anger you're facing. He comes to you and he sees you. And this morning he's standing here in that same way as he stood there that day with the Samaritan woman. He's asking, I am here. Will you trust me with your life? So as Jesus is talking to this woman, he doesn't ignore her past. He actually brings it up, but he doesn't bring it up to condemn her and to shame her. He brings up her past to show her that he can redeem her situation. So the conversation goes on, and Jesus asks her about her husband. In verse 17, she replies, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. So as we read that passage, it's really easy to cast judgment on her. We can read that with disgust, with pity. There's so many emotions we can look at that and read into that. She must have done so much wrong in her life. What has her situation been to have five husbands? You can think maybe she has so many issues in her life she's not dealing with, and that's caused her just to go from man to man. This lady is pretty bad. This lady is adulterous. She has obviously got issues. And that's how I always read this passage. I read it with kind of judgment on her, with kind of putting my lens on it and thinking, and then looking at Jesus' voice and reading that with the tone in my head of Jesus talking to her with that kind of angry tone, with that condemning tone. But what if that response isn't actually what's happening here? Maybe we need to look at this passage from a different perspective. Because yes, this woman, it looks like she made some really bad choices in her life. But this woman already knew shame. She knew she was an outcast in her town and village because that's why she was at the well in the middle of the day. Women normally went to the well in the cool of the morning because the midday sun was so hot, and they would draw water in the morning and talk, I guess, around the cooler, water cooler, like it's the office done today. But here she is. She knows she doesn't want to face the condemnation of the people around her. She doesn't want to face those shameful looks because she's in this adulterous situation. Here she is in the middle of the day, and maybe that's why no one else is around. Maybe she found herself in a situation that was beyond her control. The Bible doesn't actually go into detail about her past, about her history, about why she had five husbands and why the person she was living with isn't her husband right now. But maybe if we look at the context and the culture of first century where she was living, and we can get a little bit of an understanding of potentially what might have happened. So if women in the first century, if they weren't married or they didn't have family, they had no way to provide for themselves. They weren't allowed to be educated. And she lived in a society where women were pretty much owned by their husbands. So if her husband died or divorced her, and she had no father, no family to go back to, she would have been a beggar on the street. So maybe that's why. Maybe her choices were just made purely out of survival. The Bible doesn't go into detail. We don't know. Or maybe the husbands died. Or maybe they divorced her. Because back then, a man could divorce a woman just for waking up one morning going, I don't like you anymore, and write her a certificate of divorce, and that was it. Maybe that's what happened. We don't know her situation. And it might not be entirely her fault. And also, it wasn't up to a woman back then to take a husband. She didn't have that opportunity or that power. And it's extremely likely that these five relationships had begun and ended by the decision of a man. We don't know her life story, so we can't actually judge her. And this woman had been judged by the people around her whole entire life. So imagine if Jesus came to her that day in exactly the same way that the rest of the people around her did. Imagine if he came to her condemning and judging her and giving her those looks just like everybody else. Right at this moment, Jesus is a complete stranger to her. I don't know what her reaction would have been, but I imagine it's something like this, like her thinking, who are you to talk to me like that? Who are you to judge me? You don't know what my life circumstances are. You are a complete stranger and a Jew. But we don't see that. Instead, I really believe Jesus' tone and his words that day oozed with compassion and love. And they were spoken in such a way because she stayed. She listened. She didn't walk away. Because I know if someone is judging and condemning you, you don't want to stay and listen to that. But if someone is speaking in love to you and showing you compassion, you want to hear what they need, they're going to say. So I believe that is what Jesus is doing. He's not bringing up her past to condemn her. He's bringing it up to say, I can redeem it. And that's why God calls us, you and I, to be part of the Lakes Church, to love people and invite them into a growing relationship with Jesus. Jesus asks us to love our neighbour. It's not optional. It wasn't a suggestion. This is a commandment that Jesus said we need to do. And we don't come to people with our preconceived ideals and judgments because it's not our place to judge. God says our place is to love God and to love people. God will judge one day, but that's his job, not ours. Our job is to love. And when we as followers of Jesus do that, sometimes we can come to people and place that judgment on them. We can put up barriers that Jesus never intended them there to be. He calls us to walk with people so he can do the restoration work. He didn't ignore this woman's past. He talked about it to bring healing to it, to redeem her situation. And as part of our mission, as part of our church, we believe God is calling us to be a church that walks with the wounded because we all carry wounds. We all have things in our past that need healing. Jesus offers us forgiveness and he gives us people to walk the journey with us so we can realize his freedom. And that's what I want my faith to look like. I want to love God with all of my heart, and I want to demonstrate to my neighbour the love that Jesus is showing this Samaritan woman there that day. And we want to be a church that offers that to people, to love our neighbour and to be a community of people who believe in Jesus, that people can come and it can be a place where no matter what your past, no matter what your story, people can come and they won't be judged, because remember, that's God's job. That this can be a place where people can find community and to be community where we can worship Jesus together and bring healing and bring restoration because Jesus has paid the price. The conversation continues in John chapter 4. Woman, Jesus replied, he said, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has come now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in Spirit and truth. The woman replied, I know the Messiah, called the Christ, is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, the one speaking to you, I am he. And this is our together assignment, our group challenge to worship God in spirit and truth. And that time is made possible because Jesus came and died on the cross. And that means we can grow together, talking about our faith and what Jesus is doing in our lives and spurring each other on. That means we can worship together through song. We can be a church that loves God. We can be a church where each person is growing in their relationship with Jesus. We can be a church that loves our neighbour and shows hospitality to them. That we can be a church that sees people, not circumstances or situations, but the person. That we can be a church that walks with people and shows them Jesus' love. That we can be a church that removes barriers that stops people coming to Jesus. That we can be a church that makes disciples just like Jesus asked. And we can be a church that is geared towards and focused towards this, to inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus. So back in the conversation Jesus is having with this woman, at the statement where he reveals himself to her, he says, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. She believed, and there was instant life change. In John 4:28 says, the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So people came streaming from the village to see him. So she's gone from running away from the village, running to the village. She was unashamed. She was restored. She was forgiven. Come and see a man. This woman has gone from being timid and hidden away to the center of the town, yelling, saying, come and see a man. Come and see this man, Jesus, because he has changed my life. To love people and invite them into a growing relationship with Jesus. That's why God has called us to be a church, a place where you can invite people to come and see a man. God has called us to be a place where no matter what your journey is, even mature Christians can come and be part of this community and come and see a man. Come and see Jesus. I don't know about you, but if you discover something amazing in your life, that's something revolutionary that makes your life really easy, you're usually telling your friends about it. Maybe it's a new way to brew coffee. Maybe it's a new app on your phone that just makes life easier. You tell people about it. You share people about it. Or what about when you first met Jesus and that joy was bubbling up inside you and you were just telling everyone around you about how you met him? But the years have gone by and you're still growing in your relationship with Jesus. But that bubbling kind of telling people doesn't really happen anymore. I personally find this really challenging. The woman running into the village and telling people, come and see a man. Because do I do that in my life? I know for me personally, I've experienced Jesus. I know he's forgiven me. I believe he is the Son of God. But do I run and tell people, come and see a man? I've been asking myself the question, what is the barrier in my life that is stopping me doing that? Maybe you can ask yourself that question. What is the barrier in my life that is stopping me from telling people, come and see a man? As part of our group assignment, that's why we're a community of believers together, because each person has something here to offer. I know for myself, I'm not a great evangelist, but if I invite someone to come to church with me, to come and experience the community and to experience Jesus, I know other people here have that gift, and together we can share and show people what Jesus is, or who Jesus is, and his love. We can be a safe place for people to come and see Jesus, for them to experience church. So as we move forward with our mission, we want to be a people who are continually growing in our walk with Jesus, always seeking him, always loving him. And our heart is to be a church community that no matter what age and stage you are in your walk with Jesus, that we can worship him together through teaching, through singing, through serving, through giving, through being together, and being a place where people can come freely without any barriers to come and see a man. The man who died on the cross for our sins. We have a couple of responses to make this morning. Have you seen Jesus for the very first time, like the Samaritan woman did at the well that day? Because Jesus' invitation is timeless. It's always there. He's always meeting you, breaking through the barriers in your life to meet you personally. He's offering you that invitation. He wants to offer you freedom. He wants to offer you that forgiveness of sins. He wants to redeem your life and your situation. Jesus said, I am the Messiah, the chosen one. Will you believe in me? Will you worship me? Do you want to accept Jesus right now? You can. I want to pause and take a moment right now. If Jesus is speaking and knocking on your heart, and you want to accept Jesus, if you realize he is the Son of God and he has come and died on the cross for your sins, pray this prayer with me right now. It's just a short prayer. It's very simple. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you meet with us, that you go out of your way to meet with me. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross for my sins. Lord, forgive me. Lord, redeem me. Lord, meet with me. I ask that you be part of my life from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. if you pray that prayer with me right now, or if you've previously prayed that prayer and you want to keep growing in your relationship with Jesus, there is a next step you can take. And that next step is called baptism. So baptism is something that Jesus has asked us to do, and it's a public declaration of that decision you made just then or previously in your heart. And it's symbolic of what Jesus does in our life when we follow him. So if you're not sure what that means or what that involves, it's about going underwater and coming out. So we have a baptism pool outside, and there'll be two people there with you, and you can choose someone special that you'd like to be in the pool. And we'll carefully put you under the water and pick you up and bring you out. So going under the water identifies you with Jesus' death. Being in the water identifies you with the washing clean of your sins, that the forgiveness that Jesus offers you. And coming back up identifies you with Jesus' resurrection and new life. So like I said, we have a pool filled up outside ready for baptisms today. If you would like to do that, you have the opportunity to do that today. And if you're watching online and you would like to do that, you can jump in your car right now. Or if that's not possible, send us a message. We'd love to arrange a time for you to get baptized. And you don't have to wait to be perfect. You can do that at any stage, any time. You don't have to wait till a particular issue in your life is sorted. You don't have to wait until you're perfect, because that will never happen. If you have accepted Jesus as the Son of God in your life, you can get baptized. And specifically, we ask you two questions. And the first question is, how did you decide to be baptized today? And we ask you that because we love to hear how Jesus has been walking with you, how he's brought you to this point where you've accepted him. It's exciting and encouraging. And the second question we'll ask you is, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? And the answer, if it's yes, we'll baptize you. Whoever you are, we're ready for you. And you might be sitting there thinking, I didn't come dressed to get wet. And that's okay, we've prepared for you. We have a table up the back of the church with clothes that we want to gift you in all sorts of sizes. We have them there waiting that you can have time during the song and after church to get changed into. We also have towels there so you can get dry afterwards. So that's not a problem. Or you're thinking, what about people waiting for me? I'm sure they would love to celebrate this moment with you. They'd be happy to wait. Or if you've got kids out in Lakes Kids, that's fine too. Go and check them out, because they'd love to be part of that decision that you're making today and that display of your public declaration. You can explain to them what's going to happen. They can be part of that and watch as you make that decision to get baptized. And if you're wishing there was someone here to see that, we have Matt, who's going to take photos. We'll give you a photo, and you can tell them the story of what Jesus has done in your life. Or maybe you're thinking this morning, I was baptized as a baby. Does that count? I think that's a decision between you and God. Jesus asks us to get baptized as believers, and if you've made a decision for him, you can get baptized today out of your choice and not your family's choice. So you can come and talk to me or anyone up the back at the end about that if you have questions. We're going to finish up with the last song. So if you would like to get baptized today, make your way down to the back. I'll be down there with some other people. We can answer any questions you have about Jesus, about baptism. We can help you get some clothes ready. You'll have time to get changed. And during morning tea, we'll baptize you. So let me pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you are the Son of God, that you display your love, that you show us how to love our neighbour. And I pray that you'll give us faith to go and not be judgmental towards people, but to show them your heart, to show them your salvation through your forgiveness of sins, that we can walk with people. Jesus, thank you that you are all we need. And thank you that you've placed us in community, that we can show people who you are. In your most precious name, amen.